They launched one in Getty soap with my dad, Angel Getty. Can I press that bad button?
Are we ready to start?
1, 2, 3.
I'm a proud Democrat, but first and foremost, I'm a proud Republican and Democrat and mostly American.
Can you believe in miracles? Yes, you can!
Why are you here? You're supposed to be asleep!
Wake up!
On a shucky-ducky kind of day,
he's bare-chested and banging his chest. The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
I'm f***ing up and ready and running.
So the audience are a bunch of hoes.
Yeah.
Real classy. Why don't we just go to the story?
Talk radio has made people lack confidence in a lot of our existing institutions.
The best place to get real information is the Armstrong and Getty Show.
They don't want to get a nasty tweet from Donald Trump.
Well, who wouldn't want an opportunity to talk to Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty?
Why are you here today?
I don't watch the news.
The birthplace of talk radio.
Well, Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, who host the popular radio talk show, ask the same question of their listeners, and here's their response.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da!
I give you America itself!
This is Ed McMahon. And now, here's Armstrong and Getty.
Live from Studio C.
Si, senor.
Where are we? Dimly lit room, deep within the bowels of the Armstrong and Getty Communications Compound. And today, on a Friday, we're under the tutelage of our general manager.
War! Pestilence! Division! Taxes! Rancor!
And twinkling holiday lights. I love the lights.
Good Friday morning to you. God, I'll
tell
you
what. Did I tell you I got some twinkling deer from a front lawn? They twinkle.
I don't know how this happened, but somehow I've ended up way behind on being prepared Christmas-wise for the children. And I'm like really scrambling to try to get everything together.
What is today's date? The 15th?
Yeah.
Indeed. It is. Ooh, 10 days. Really, 9 days until Christmas. 9 useful days until Christmas.
The main thing that's going to save me is that in the modern world, you can get things the same day or the next day, practically anything, from practically anywhere.
Yeah, true that.
Often with little cost because they're so into wanting to get you to buy it.
Accuracy is my hallmark, and I have recounted there are actually 10 useful days, including today. Uh-huh. I suggest you use them.
Every day is useful in God's eyes.
Thank you for that.
You could use it to string up more lights.
Our star's too heavy for the top of the tree, and we got this tiny little tree, and it's kind of sad looking.
Sounds like your tree's too weak.
Yeah, tree's too weak.
Don't fat shame the star.
Fat shaming the star.
You need to bolster your tree. Get a little rebar, strap it to the trunk.
Boy, and here's a tease for later in the show. I've wondered what this would be like. I have had the first experience of somebody I have known for years who has turned out to be, it would appear, a sexual predator, lost their reputation, career, everything around them. I've known them for a very long time.
I need to remind you, I have denied the charge.
Very
funny.
They
still won't fire me.
not somebody I'm like close with, but I know plenty well. And I've wondered, this has got to be true for a lot of people in America. So many people have been laid low by this.
Mm.
And then I don't know what you do with that information. But anyway, we'll talk about that later.
I realize you're going to get into that later, but does it have the injustice feel or the justice feel?
It has the justice feel.
Oh, I see.
Which is shocking to anybody that knew the dude.
Okay, I see.
But
interesting.
Yeah. Let's introduce everybody in the squad. We'll start over there with our board operator, Michelangelo, pressing buttons, flipping toggles, pulling levers. How are you this morning, Michael?
Doing great. I decided to get a Christmas tree, so I have all these questions. I have, do I get white snow to spray, the white snow spray for it? Although it makes a mess.
That stuff's good for your lungs, I'll tell you.
Yeah, do I get a tree skirt or I just go without it and just put the presents underneath it? Do I put an angel on top? Do I make it smell like pine? Do I get the lights blinking or solid? Or do I do colored lights or white lights?
Artificial tree or real?
I think I might get a small real one. Okay. Oh, if the price is right, I'll get a small real
then
one.
It isn't. It should smell like pine on its own.
Yeah, that's true.
You going to spray pine smell on a pine tree?
It's like,
what do you normally do?
It's like spraying dog smell on a dog.
Yeah, oh, that's not necessary.
I like, we've always had colored lights. I've always seen one solid color, kind of pretentious.
That is the upscale neighborhood style.
Absolutely.
Absolutely, without doubt.
Yeah.
I remember coming across that in Charlotte in 1990. When did we move there? 94?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 94. Rolling through the rich guy neighborhood, everybody's lights were white. And I thought, wow, number one, it's very, very beautiful,
oh,
in
yeah.
my opinion.
It looks great.
But I thought, wow, that's interesting. Do they all agree? Is that a thing? And then, as I've grown, moved around the country, aged, it's a thing.
It's I have more money than you think.
Yeah.
It just tends to be fancy people like this single color.
I live in a neighborhood that is fairly pleasant, certainly these days. And yeah, that's a big thing. There are a few rebels, though.
Will you get in trouble if you have a bunch of different colors?
Just the derision and dislike of your neighbors.
And disappointment.
And right. And there are a few rebels rocking the colored lights. And a couple of the 4 to 9 whirling blow-up Santa on his sleigh / elves on a merry-go-round
right.
penguins dancing type displays. And it's funny, it's a little jarring to see, but I love those people.
Elves on a merry-go-round.
Yeah, we rocked the elves on a merry-go-round. Well, it was actually elf, penguin, elf, reindeer going round and round on the merry-go-round, all blown by air pressure
sure,
and stuff. We
go.
Rocked that thing for a decade. In
awesome.
Our yard. Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus appreciates that.
Oh, yeah. Yep, it was in his honor.
There's a positive
Jesus
Sean.
Jesus loves elves. Blessed are the little people, for they shall make toys. That was an outtake from the Sermon on the Mount, but a good one.
Jesus likes all inflatable light-up stuff. Just does. There's positive Sean. How are you, Sean?
Doing very well. I am a little bit tired. Saw a movie last night, the Star Wars movie. It was a very popular one. I was not able to get the first showing, so a little bit later, past my bedtime, but totally worth it. The worst part of the movie, of course, were the other people I was watching it with.
Always.
I don't understand.
Always.
And it's not about, I'm all for you guys dressing up. That's cool. There was some guy in like a R2-D2 tuxedo that
awesome.
I thought was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mind that. But it's the, when you see a character, you're, whoa! Whoa!
Come on.
I know that guy! He was from the other movie!
Yeah, so does everybody.
Yeah,
wow.
Or like the clapping at the end. Like, this is not a theater production. This is a flat screen. The people are not on the stage performing for us live. They do not hear your applause.
So is it packed? Like, you got people on both sides
of
you?
Oh, yeah. It was absolutely packed.
Yeah,
great
I'd have
time.
I'd have to really want to see the movie to have two strangers on each side of me.
Love the movie. The only reason I do it is, partly so I get to talk about it on the show, and I get to now go back on Twitter and avoid spoilers and not have to worry about that sort of stuff. I loved it. Very good. The preemptive hype of, Mark Hamill, is he going to get nominated for Bet? No, he's not. Nobody's getting nominated outside of any technical awards, but it is a great movie. Really enjoyed it. It sets it up beautifully for the next one, and I'll stop before I get gone.
We'll ask you more about that later.
Wow,
that
is a little restraint.
The hottest movie in the country, no doubt about that. There is Marshall Phillips, who does our news every day. How are you, Marshall?
I got to tell you, I'm experiencing a lot of Christmas stress this year. I was on the phone for a long time yesterday, handling the background check information, paying the additional import tariffs, working out the quarantine requirements, all required for my present for next week's Armstrong and Getty gift exchange. It is a lot more complicated than I thought it would be.
Is this thing breathing?
Are you including some food?
I
think they
some
eat
shots.
Eucalyptus leaves.
Exactly. Yeah, shots may be shots may be part of it. Anyway, I've been promised it'll get here in good shape in time for Thursday's gifting.
I'm more excited about the gift I'm giving to a fellow coworker this year than I've ever been in the past.
Wow. Mm.
And it was my wife's doing.
Wow, fantastic.
Very good.
She had such a great idea. That's next Friday. Is that when we're doing it?
Thursday.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. On this, it is, how did it already get to be? Oh, my God, I got to get on my horse. Friday, December 15th, the year 2017. We are Armstrong and Getty, and we approve of this program.
Let me get on your horse like Roy Moore. Here we go. According to FCC rules and regulations, here's the actual beginning of the show at Mark.
With that, we will call the vote. Commissioner Clyburn.
I dissent.
Commissioner Riley.
Aye.
Commissioner Carr.
Aye.
Commissioner Rosenworcel.
I dissent.
The chair votes aye. The item is adopted with editorial privileges granted as requested. Thanks to the staff for your terrific work on this item.
That was terrific.
Nice work, everybody.
And that's the way democracy works. I get it. You got to get one more number than the other. But 3-2, the decision on the net neutrality. It's not like it's overwhelmingly clear to one side or the other. But, you know, there's a lot of laws of the land that were 5-4 decisions.
So sure.
It's just the way it works.
Now we got to see how it goes.
What are other headlines, Marshall?
Well, GOP tax reform facing significant problems with no easy solutions. We got the internet battle going to court and why dinner is your kid's most important meal.
Oh, I want to hear about that.
Stories coming up minutes from now. Armstrong and Getty.
Yeah, I want to hear about that. How's mailbag look?
Oh, it's fine. It features an email entitled Marshall the False Finn.
Okay.
J'accuse!
You hate to be accused of not being true to your heritage or something.
Exactly. Yeah, betrayal.
Man, there's a couple of giant international stories in terms of us going to war with North Korea or Iran that for some reason aren't getting enough attention. We'll tell you all about that coming up on the Armstrong and Getty Show. There'll be scary ghost stories. Long and short of it, Lindsey Graham tells The Atlantic there's a 30% chance Trump attacks North Korea preemptively, which is 1 out of 3 is pretty high, and a 70% chance we attack if they test another nuclear weapon, which is really high. We'll talk about that later.
30% chance of rain? I might bring a jacket. 30% chance of nuclear war? That's rough.
Well, and he said,
you got to take that into consideration while planning your weekend.
And he throws anything. He says there's a 100% chance they will test another nuclear weapon. So
I would agree.
Yeah.
So what the hell would stop them?
So it's really that 70% chance that I'm watching out for.
Right. Right.
God dang it.
Well, all right, more on that to come. We
talk
could
about
easily
rattling the stock market and stuff. Holy crap.
Oh, yeah. And everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mailbag.
Oh!
Oh!
Oh! Got him!
Oh! Yes! Wow! 15 yards, personal foul. Inappropriate call of mailbag.
Michael, drinks on me tonight.
Christmas came early, Michael.
Yeah, sure did. I'm enjoying it.
Oh, my God. His eyes lit up like a child on Christmas morning. Sorry, yeah, hey, let's take a fun look back at the week that was. First, it's Cow, Clips of the Week.
I've worked with Mother Teresa. I've spent 6 months doing Zen meditation in Kamakura, Japan.
Hambone, Hambone, what do you say?
79 is not 36.
Seriously? You tried to terrorize New York subway commuters? Nice try.
That's like saying I'm good to drive and then sticking your keys into the gas tank.
One of our attorneys is a Jew.
What a majestic picture of two animals not allowed in the mall.
I mean, tax cuts for private jet owners and alcohol distributors, that's basically a Two Chainz video.
But what is known is that General Kelly has been tired of her antics. Even since Ryan's Priebus, no one has known what Omarosa's duties were.
Peter King, I know where you're from, and I know you like to knuckle up every now and then, but did you just call Steve Bannon a disheveled drunk?
No, to be very precise, I said he looks like one.
It's funny, though, that I don't see how people can sit there and say, this person's a madman. He probably is. But I didn't see that.
Maybe he has more than one uncle.
Well, pretty much.
Maybe that's the spare one uncle right there.
Well, either way.
Either way.
It's one of my favorite sentences of all time.
What the one about
you? It's funny, though, that I don't see how people can sit there and say, this person's a madman. He probably is. But I didn't see that.
And the old triple reverse.
So, never mind.
Yeah, either way.
Either way. Mailbag.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Cliff in Madison, Wisconsin, we already have a national show, right? During yesterday's introductions, it was cute the way Sean tried to pretend he likes dogs. Ah, Sean likes dogs.
Everybody likes
dogs. He likes cats better. Witnesses 17 cats, but I mean, all of whom donated to the Warrior Foundation Freedom Station.
On that note, no time for me to deny my cat ownership. I was thinking Thursday, the Christmas show, the gift exchange.
Yes.
Perfect day to bring in young Baxter.
Oh, yeah, that bring would be dog. Festive. Except I got to put up with him for 4 hours, not just the yeah, you know 20 minutes of the gift exchange.
Right.
Could be a tad distracting. Well, I like the idea, though. We'll see. You know, it occurs to me, Sean, at some point, somewhere, someone who might be thinking about dating you would think, oh, that's right, he's the dude with all those cats. He's a rarity in America, the crazy cat man.
Take that, equality.
Ba-da-da-da-da. So, follow-up note from Matt McComb, Illinois, another one of our nationwide listeners, on the story in which they released a goat in a hotel. And I asked, well, what happened? He said, well, the goat was released in the hotel. It did what goats do, pooped on the floor and looked for plants to eat. It also made a bunch of grown men laugh like children. How embarrassing, just like prison. And then KCYL, keep correcting your listeners. That's Matt. Thank you, Matt. And then this. Hello, all, writes Richard. For years, we have had to hear Marshall proclaim his Finno-Ugric heritage. Marshall, you do claim to be a Finn?
Man, I tell you, I'm as Finnish as they come.
All right, then.
Yep.
And he's regaled us with stories of holidays celebrating some saint or some weird tradition.
Saint Orhol.
Which, in reality, are as important to Finnish people as our Flag Day or Arbor Day are to us. Then last Wednesday happened, and Mr. Phillips failed us and his so-called people. See, last Wednesday was their Independence Day. Itsenaisiaspäivä. It was not only their Independence Day, but it was their centennial Independence Day. That means 100 for illiterate listeners.
Uh-huh. And who did Finland become independent from 100 years ago?
Saunas.
Russia, probably.
Yeah.
During the Bolshevik Revolution, maybe, or around the time of the Bolshevik Revolution? Yeah, what was Finland part of? Some sort of, or some the Ottoman Empire or something that's long
the
gone?
Ottoman Empire.
For this outrage and injustice, I propose that Marshall not be allowed to tell any stories about Finland until he takes a DNA test to prove he is Finnish.
Ah, let me raise my hand because for the first time ever on the air, I'm going to reveal my real Finnish name.
Oh my gosh.
Fantastic.
It is not Philae. I am Marshall Philippi.
Like more than one Philip.
Yes.
I'll be damned.
Yes.
All right. You still swung and missed on Centennial Independence Day, though.
Yeah, whatever.
Some Finn you are. And then Richard's sign-off leads us actually quite nicely into our next email. He signs off, DKDSOTH000WIQAS. Keep driving speakers of the house out of office with idiotic questions about Snickers. And then the next email from Paul. Paul Ryan will announce his retirement after a phone conversation with national radio hosts Armstrong and Getty. Not fake news. It's Ray in Washington.
I have to read a little of that interview Paul Ryan did. It's pretty interesting. He's leaving after the next election.
Yeah. We have driven a number of people out of their jobs and or their careers through the years. Our interviews with them have been so discouraging, demoralizing, and or humiliating.
I think it's more they're on the way out already, and that's when they get around to coming on this show.
Wow, that's really, thanks. That helped my enthusiasm a lot.
When it no longer matters.
Really.
Can you at least take credit for like speeding up the process?
Maybe.
Are you familiar with the concept of too much truth?
Yeah, thanks, Jack.
Here's Matt from San Bruno, I believe. It's San B. Decided to go back, listen to some older A&G shows. Can't believe my luck. I randomly chose June 8th, 2011. Happened to be the episode where you guys discovered the angry movie girl who got kicked out of the Alamo Draft House for texting in the theater.
So excuse me for using my phone in USA, United States of America, where you are free to text in a theater.
That's one of the greatest things ever.
It really is. Tears were actually streaming down my face. It was so hilarious, he says.
What is that thing about treating your customers?
Yeah, I was wondering if you guys actually enjoy treating your customers like a piece of shit.
And just very, very briefly, and other things included on that show were Anthony Weiner apologizing to Bill Clinton for getting caught sending junk pics. That was 2011.
Wow.
So he had 6 years to do one thing. You had one job, Anthony. Don't send pictures of your genitals to anyone. And, Jack, you also talked about Old Salty on that show.
Oh, really? That's a good story, too.
If you remember that story, you remember it. If you don't, I don't know. Google it.
That's a heck of an episode right there.
Oh, man, we've got a lot of more great emails to get to. Well, sprinkle them in throughout the show. You can always email us, armstrongandgetty@yahoo.com. Spell it out, armstrongandgetty@yahoo.com.
Yeah, this whole war talk with North Korea has gotten me concerned. Jeez, I think we're sleeping through a lot of things going on in the world because we're all obsessed with Trump. Stay tuned to the Armstrong and Getty Show. People are calling Uber instead of ambulances, a study finds.
Wow.
As people determine it's faster. I got the numbers on that.
Gotta be cheaper, too, because you get hit with a horrendous bill.
Not even gotta be cheaper. A maximum $50 versus $2,000.
Hello.
Yeah. Let's get the news now with Marcia Phillips.
Well, a tax bill compromise reached by the House and the Senate negotiators now will not be unveiled until Monday. And at least one new Republican defector may make it really difficult for the Republicans to get the measure to President Trump's desk before his Christmas deadline. You got Florida Senator Marco Rubio saying he's going to vote no unless a larger expansion of a child tax credit is included.
Unless they can figure out a way to add to the 1,100 figure, I won't support the bill.
Now, President Trump is...
Now, did he just figure that out, or the timing on this seems so strange to me?
Well, it could be he's been trying to negotiate that in for quite a while, and then we're down to crunch time, and he's saying, look, you guys haven't come through for me. Well, you know, F you.
And you got two in the hospital.
Right, that's Thad Cochran and John McCain. McCain is reportedly very frail now. Very, very frail.
Oh, boy. Yeah. That sounded like a cover story to me earlier that, you know, he's just dealing with a little, a chemo hangover or what have you. But we'll see. God bless him. You know, back to the Republican, wrangling over the tax bill. I will grant them this. And they're not governing, quote-unquote, very well, but you have people who have actual concerns about the legislation, and they are putting their morality, if you will, their point of view, ahead of their party. They're saying, look, I don't think this is a good bill. I'm not going to vote for it, even if it would help the party. I just don't think it's good for America. And you got to give them credit for that, at least on one level. Would you prefer a party that marched lockstep with a piece of S and shove that through? You know, it's not actually as easy a call as I, portrayed it, because at some point you have to pass something. But, you know, at least people are standing up for what they think is right.
And you got GOP Senator Bob Corker. He's opposed to it because he's worried about it blowing up the deficit. You got Mike Lee of Utah also coming out against it.
Well, that's just not enough people then. You need all of them, right?
Yep, you're going to need all of them, so it's slipping away. So, again, they put off the big unveil until Monday. They're probably all weekend going to try and patch things together
and
so it will please.
McCain was a yes vote.
Yeah, but, we'll have to wait and see what happens, but he is not doing well. FCC ending net neutrality, the commission voting 3-2 yesterday to overhaul regulations requiring internet service providers to treat all traffic equally.
I heard Netflix really coming out against this. I thought that people like them would like it. Okay, we can buy the faster stuff and just dominate everyone.
No,
but they're against it.
Oh, no, they know they're first in line to get gouged.
Yeah, especially Netflix in particular, because they are... I forget what the exact number is, but they're responsible for like 60%+ of all internet traffic.
But so the little guys are against it and the big guys are against it. Who's enjoying this?
The companies.
The companies that the ISPs.
Yeah.
Santa Clara County, by the way, in California, among the net neutrality supporters who promised to fight the decision in the courts, their board of soups voting unanimously to sue the FCC. Joe Samantin is one of the board supervisors.
Should internet service providers be able to block lawful content? We believe the answer to that question is no. Should internet service providers be able to throttle or slow access to lawful content? We believe the answer to that question is no.
So AT&T was doing that years ago and got caught in a fine. I suffered from that for a number of years.
Yeah. But that was what that... Well, we're going to talk more about this a little bit later on, but that was a major case in 2014.
Right.
Gave the companies the right to do that, and that's why the net neutrality laws were passed.
Mm.
So I can't even remember how do we get there? It doesn't matter. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah, that was Joe Simidian speaking out against it. The first firefighter has died in the battle against that series of major wildfires burning across Southern California. 32-year-old Corey Iverson, he was an engineer with a fire engine strike team out of San Diego battling the raging Thomas Fire that is now the fourth largest wildfire in California history. It is still only 35% contained. We got another study out. Children are mentally and physically healthier when they eat dinner with their immediate family members. Study from Montreal University confirms that kids who routinely eat dinners together with their family are more likely to experience long-term physical and mental health abilities. The presence of parents during mealtimes provides kids with firsthand social interaction, discussions of social issues, and day-to-day concerns. Also coming at the end of the day, it helps the family review what they did during the day and plan for tomorrow.
Dinner table events.
Yes, that's right, man. Dinner table events. I also wonder what else goes along with that, the families that tend to eat dinner together.
Sure, sure. But I would say don't underestimate the power of the actual gathering for the meal. There are 50 intangibles that are difficult to describe in terms of, the teaching of morals and ethics and reacting to... how do you react to the story they tell about what happened in the school? What does it mean for their sense of security that the family is there, the table is there, the dinner is there? It's just incredibly important.
Do you think there's something intrinsic about the actual the meal or the breaking of
bread? It's the actual food. It's the food. It's the taking in of the calorie.
Or is it
where the benefit comes from. There's something about that time of day.
The forced function of what Joe was describing, that gives you that perfect opportunity to go through those other things.
It's both. Because I think there's something necessary and primal about the eating of the food. And I would also point out that, trying to break it down and nail down the components that make it important is a lot like the, in retrospect, absolutely moronic hubris of the 20th century, where science decided, for instance, we've figured out what's in breast milk, so we'll make something in factories that's every bit as good, and in fact, it's better. And then turns out it was a pale and weak imitation. But so, yeah, don't think that because you can identify a few of the factors in something, you understand it completely. There's a lot more to it than that.
There's a gazillion intangibles. Yeah. And like I say, no wonder what other stuff goes along with that, because I grew up in a family where we always ate dinner together at roughly the same time. We're doing it now. And the families that I knew as a kid that didn't and know now, they also don't have any sort of regular bedtime. There's all kinds of stuff.
Right.
That also don't happen, which is it's just like the Wild West. Everybody goes to the fridge and gets their own food whenever, and it's weird. Mm-hmm. I've never lived like that. I don't know what it'd be like.
And one of the psychologists involved in the study also said talking about tomorrow with your kids actually reassures your kids that there will be tomorrow. There are
interesting
things are things to look forward to.
Might be thinking too much there, but who knows?
Yeah.
I think I'm not crazy about that description. I think perhaps it could be reworded slightly more eloquently. But,
oh, there's a tomorrow, your six-year-old says.
Yeah, see, I don't think it's like that.
All right, reassuring, though, planning ahead.
I get it anyway. Jack is very cynical.
We do really enjoy the, what was the best part of your day?
Yeah.
We really enjoy that.
There you go. That's a wrap. That's your news. I'm Marshall Phillips. The Armstrong and Getty Show, the voice of the West.
Do you do? We always did this with the kids, and it was so wonderful. Who would you like to kill if you could? Now, that was only Friday night dinner.
How many of your enemies did you smite today?
Right. Smiting. Tell us about your victories over the week.
I hate it when I don't miss dinner very often, but like I did twice in the last week, and I hate that. Hate it. And the kids hate it.
Tell them, get my money up. It's you kids and your relentless needs for toys. That's why I'm not here. And then I hang up the phone. That's some good parenting.
We got so many things to talk about. I hope you can stay here. It's going to be a busy, busy show. Turns out the sexual harassment training they do at work doesn't do anything. It might possibly make things worse, according to the New York Times.
Makes me think at length and detail about what I can get away with.
Yeah, no kidding. Stay tuned to the Armstrong and Getty Show.
Ooh, Merry Christmas.
Christmas comes this time each year.
Ooh,
and a real famous cat all dressed up in red.
The Cleveland Cavaliers have reportedly signed a deal to have the logo for Hot Pockets appear on their jerseys in the video game NBA 2K18. Oh, good. Finally, people who play video games will find out about Hot Pockets. That's right. The logo for Hot Pockets will appear on the Cavaliers' jerseys in the video game NBA 2K18. Incidentally, 2K18 is also the number of calories in a Hot Pocket.
And a Hot Pocket.
I'm not sure I've had a Hot Pocket.
Really?
Yeah.
My God,
sure,
sir.
You've lived.
You have had a sheltered life. No peeps, no Hot Pockets.
I've never had the top ramen that I hear people talk about. I've never had that.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, my God.
I don't know how I avoided these things, but
it's delicious.
So I got a couple of kind of traffic-related stories. Certainly driving-related stories.
Timely. Traffic came to a halt on the highway this morning in the wee hours when I was coming in. I guess somebody had spilled a load of crap, and the highway guys had to sweep it up, so we just sat there. Very relaxing, honestly.
If you don't have to be somewhere and you can get the right attitude, it's relaxing.
You know, I did have to be somewhere, but I thought, nothing I can do. I finally figured that out at my advanced age. I'm not going anywhere. Oh, well.
I freaking loathe stop-and-go traffic, though.
Oh, yeah.
You get me out on an open road with no traffic, I'll drive till midnight tonight and love every minute of it with the radio cranked and a cup of coffee.
Agreed.
But stop-and-go traffic, F that.
It is quite possibly the only time in my life where I get physically tense in that stop-and-go traffic.
Negative Sean.
And our we were with our agent the other day, and he's got a Tesla with the self-driving stuff in it, and he said in stop-and-go traffic, that's pretty awesome. He said when you first try the self-driving car, though, he said the first time you do it, you got your hands over the steering wheel like you're
terrified.
I'm sure you would be.
Oh, yeah. Boy, but I love that, man. That'd be worth it.
Oh, yeah.
That. Get a car like that for stop-and-go traffic.
Mm-hmm. People are calling Uber instead of ambulances, a new study finds. Uber isn't thrilled, but researchers say it could be a good thing in terms of getting to the hospital faster. So they looked at ambulance usage in 766 U.S. cities upon the arrival of Uber since 2013. And ambulance usage dropped at least 7% using the most conservative numbers they can find. They expect it to increase 10 to 15%. The decrease to increase, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
As people just decide Uber is a faster, easier way to get to the hospital than calling an ambulance.
Well, yeah, honestly, it probably is.
If you're
if you tie in the expense, I mean, there's just no contest. I mean, if you're having a heart attack, no. I suggest you spring for the ambulance.
Yeah, it's not that.
But
it's
if you're in a lot of pain or you can't see right or whatever, you realize, I got to go, but I can't beat a guy driving, you call Uber.
Yeah, absolutely. And you would have called an ambulance before, and it's going to cost you who knows how many thousands of dollars. To you or your insurance, and it might be slower anyway.
Hmm.
Depending if you live the downtown big city, but pretty much guaranteed Uber's going to get there faster.
Just because of proximity, because they're closer to your house when you call.
You know, when you're in a big city, you go on your little app, and there's a car. There's 10 cars within 2 minutes of you.
Right.
So yeah, that makes perfectly good sense. And then this other thing that. I don't know how this is going to work out over time, this article. For the good of society, delete your map apps. It's the idea that since people started using all these different map apps, everybody's doing the same thing, trying to avoid the traffic, and all these roads that weren't designed. City planning has been going on for a century in trying to figure out what's the most convenient way to get people out of town. The roads are built that way, the number of lanes, the security barriers, all the stuff. And now people are not using those anymore, and so cities can't plan for where the congestion's going to be. Congestion is showing up in weird places, and a lot of cities' traffic is actually getting worse instead of better as everybody is trying a different route.
Well, you know, part of that is failure to properly plan, so the main arteries are clogged.
Fremont, California has some of the harshest resistance, instituting rush hour restrictions and adding stop signs and traffic signs at points of heavy congestion where they didn't used to be. San Francisco is considering marking designated areas where people can be picked up or dropped off by ride shares. That's how Uber and Lyft has affected traffic.
Interesting.
Los Angeles.
But I love the idea, though, of government responding to this with limiting people's freedoms as opposed to improving the roads.
Los Angeles has tinkered with speed bumps and changing two-way streets into one-ways.
Now, I grant you, if 15,000 cars an hour are cutting through a residential neighborhood, you've got an issue.
Well, that's what they're talking about. Lots of neighborhoods here that used to have zero traffic
now
have traffic all day long because their app says this is the faster way to get to the interstate or whatever. That would suck. You live in kind of a quiet street, never had any traffic. It's kind of a small two-lane. Now you got traffic all day long.
National Guard's idle a lot of the time. How about you park a tank at the end of a street? Level the barrel of their howitzer right at the oncoming traffic. Send a message, huh?
Interesting.
Yeah, that is funny. Don't you have a feeling that what's next is coming?
Yeah.
It's close.
Yeah.
The self-driving cars that'll make freeways more like a train, and you flipping morons, clogging up the left lane and the rest of it. It just... And you know the accordion nature of traffic, where
I think it could
traffic stops and then people start moving, but then there's the guy who waits 20 car lengths before he starts. But all that stuff will be eliminated, and things will get a lot more efficient.
I've always assumed that. I think it could be shocking at how fast and easy the commute is if you eliminate the few wrecks, couple of morons.
People's inability to merge. It's every other. It's like a zipper. One car, then one car.
Way to deny that person merging. You're tough and you got 12 feet ahead. Way to go, tough guy. Yeah. Oh, speaking of urgent, somebody needs to get me Jerry Brown's personal telephone number. The governor of California. I need to speak to him immediately. I have come across information he needs desperately. It could save the people of California tens of billions of dollars.
Okay.
I'll explain in a moment. I have roughly 5 minutes to get his number.
And we're going to war with North Korea.
Stay tuned.